I think it's the transition to digital media. I think it's covering where libraries are going in the future. And a lot of that is things that we're already doing. I mean, libraries have played this role as this third place as an educational center for a very long time. And with ebooks kind of taking some of our circulation numbers down, we need to start concentrating and really showing the public the other services that libraries have been providing for a long time.
Yeah, when I was young and in school, you had to do a paper. There was only one place to go, and that was the library, either the school library or the public library. Now with the internet, you can sit in your dorm room, you can sit at home and do all the research you need. How does the library stay involved with that kind of thing?
You know, I kind of would disagree with that statement. I think students still come to the library because they need that guidance from the professionals that are trained. I mean, there are people who work on a master's degree in library science, and there is so much information out there. You really need a guide. You need someone to kind of help you find that information. And for some people in this community and other communities, they don't have the internet. They don't have high-speed internet at home. They don't have a printer. They might have a phone, and that's where they do almost all of their digital consumption. It's very hard to do research on an iPhone or on an Android phone. So the library is a great place to come because you have someone there to assist you in that research, and you have the traditional computer to help you with that research. You have to also keep in mind that we have additional resources that you're not going to get from Google. We have databases that you will not be able to access just from doing a simple Google search. And you have professionals that can help you with those databases.
It always amazed me when I was a youngster. You'd go to the library, you'd take a book out, and it would be free. You didn't have to pay. And that always just shocked me when I was a kid. And I guess it still does to some extent today. How do you keep that going? How do you keep free libraries open?
Community support and community investment. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about libraries is that when I was first starting off in libraries, and I was a youth services librarian in a branch of the Albany Public Library, the Howe branch in the South End, I always got a kick out of explaining to school visits that the library was a place where the entire community had something as important as books and they shared them, and that concept of a community sharing things. And I think in the end, you have to be supportive of that. Just the books, the computers. And there are other things that we lend out, like fishing poles. And I think people really enjoy that concept and know that that's it's good community will.
Is the bookmobile still running?
The bookmobile is not running. That is a program that we stopped about 5 years ago. I remember when it started, and it's financially, it's not an easy thing to do. We were lucky to have staff who were talented and really helped shepherd it along, but it's really financially a big constraint.
Libraries, in some extent, have become also a venue for speakers. You can pick up the paper just about any day, and this person or that person will be talking at that library, or even a musical venue in some places. So you're kind of a performance venue in some ways.
We're a community center of the mind, really. We're there for education and entertainment and empowerment. So having someone come and speak about doing a resume or doing digital literacy classes helps the community, especially when it comes to looking for jobs or looking for employment. But at the same time, we're there to entertain, and we want to bring people in the door, and we want to make it a shared space of the community and have all walks of life and all interests come in our door.
Who pays for the library? Again, back to the issue of funding. That's got to be a major challenge. Where does the money come from to keep the Albany Public Library doors open?
We are a taxing district. Our trustees are elected, and our budget is it's voted on by the community.
A taxing district. What do you mean by that?
It means that we run a vote, and then when that budget is agreed upon, just like the schools, then we collect a certain amount of money from the property taxes in Albany.
Sort of like a school district.
Exactly like a school district.
What about other sources of funding? Do you get private donations? Do you get government funding, state, federal, et cetera?
We are a central reference library, so we get state funds. We're often going out and going after grants. We're actively looking for community organizations and even businesses to partner with to provide funding for new initiatives. So it's like any nonprofit, you have to go out and while you have this nice, you know, investment made by the community, at the same time, you really need to kind of, that's where really my position comes in. You're going out and you're trying to find other ways to generate income so that it's not just on the taxpayers.
As the new executive director, I'm sure you've got much on your plate, but what's number one on your agenda? Is there something at the top of your list?
There's a few things on the top of my list. One of them being working on our main library, the main branch, as some of us call it. That's a building which serves the Hudson Park neighborhood. It serves the entire community of Albany, but we want to make that almost like a branch for Hudson Park and the Lark Street area, more or less what we've done. I mean, we rehabbed three buildings, built two new buildings several years ago, and we want to make the main library like those buildings, serving the character of that neighborhood.